The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Where every week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind when you can sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And actually, there's really, really peace of mind when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There's so much potential for anxiety and worry and all the stuff that goes along with that when you sense that that alignment is not present.
That's right, James. But that's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
And when you're confused, drum roll, you are not making good decisions.
I don't.
No, not me. But that can really help. It can keep you from being all that God wants you to be.
Yes, it can.
And it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 34 of Money and Mission. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
It is a new year.
That's right.
I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And partway through the show, we'll get to our weekly puzzler.
We didn't forget it this week.
We did not. No, that's right. A weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. It's a puzzle, and we'll share it with you. And we never know if the puzzle is actually interesting to anyone but us. but we think they're a lot of fun. Although one thing I do have to ask.
What's that?
Is how far into the year can you still say Happy New Year? Like, at what point do people start looking at you and saying, did you just fall out of the sky?
Just knock it off now.
Yeah, come on, stop. I mean, the year is not new
Definitely
anymore.
February. I think we can all agree on that.
February. That's right. So, anyway, something. All right, we'll come back to that. That should be part of our weekly puzzle.
A little foreshadowing.
That's right. That's right. So, news headlights, right? Financial headlights.
Yeah, what did you think was a financial news highlight this past week?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have this strong, strong economy, right? Well, we're told that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Fed says we feel like we can keep interest rates high because we have this strong economy. But what's this report? Oh, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, which we enjoy referencing periodically.
It's leisure reading for James.
Yes, leisure reading. Jobless rates here. Apparently, there are 389 metropolitan areas that get polled, and they get polled on various and sundry topics. One topic is how many people are reported in as like the jobless claims.
Mm-hmm.
How many people? Rate. Yeah, that's right. So in 389 metropolitan areas. So apparently unemployment rates were higher coming out of November. We didn't get December's numbers yet.
That's about 7 per state, I think. Just quick math.
About 7 per, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. But apparently unemployment rates coming out of November were higher than a year earlier in 308 of the 389 metropolitan areas.
308 out of the 389?
308.
Wow.
Do a quick percentage of that. In what percentage of those metropolitan areas were unemployment rates higher than a year previous?
79%.
79%.
Almost 80%.
Right. So, but the interesting thing is that if the unemployment rates were higher in November, I mean, that's headed into like the Christmas season, where typically the seasonal employment
ramps up
and
shipping, the warehouse.
That's right. And then unemployment drops during that period.
Because they're employed.
That's right. Yeah. But smack dab in the middle of that seasonally strong period, unemployment was higher than a year previous.
Wow.
Not exactly a sign of a strong economy.
No, that's not good news. That's not. That trickles out.
Yeah. Well, bad news is something we're interested in, right?
Well, bad news are the things we have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that is. That's exactly right.
It can have a detrimental effect.
Because one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And when you are thinking about how you have your investments structured and how the economy may be changing around you, this tends to make a difference in how you structure yourself.
Absolutely.
Right? If things are expanding, it's easier to get feeling more aggressive. But when things are contracting, then, again, confidence levels go down.
And families feel it.
And families feel
it. Spending goes down. Mm-hmm. Might push off that trip.
Businesses feel it.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right. So 308 of the 389 metropolitan areas reported that jobless rates were up. Really, if I have my notes right, they were about, there was running almost 9% unemployment in those.
Ooh.
On average, right?
It's getting up there.
A big number.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, apparently jobs are up then in 32 of the metropolitan areas.
That's a low amount.
That's a low amount. So the other, 60 or so, maybe 50 metropolitan areas, everything was just pretty flat.
Flatline, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So it's interesting to see the headlines, all these jobs are being created, et cetera, and then a report comes
in.
So is
the Fed not looking at this?
Well, they're data driven. They say they're data driven. One would assume. I mean, it's the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, so it should be there.
It's in the name.
Yeah, makes you wonder how many of those new jobs are maybe part time jobs where someone who can't make ends meet on just one job anymore now is holding down two. But that's a topic that could take a long time to work through, right?
Sure.
So, but it's interesting to me in the face of joblessness like that, the Fed cut rates. Usually the Fed will cut rates as a way of stimulating or trying to speed up the economy, because cutting rates makes it easier for people to borrow. And then when people can borrow, they spend more money and so on.
Right.
So the Fed cut rates in September. Fed cut rates in November, and the Fed cut rates in December. But bond yields did not follow suit. So yields are still up, even though the Fed was cutting rates. But now, in the December meeting, the Fed was more hawkish, which meant they are talking about maybe not cutting as much as they were thinking going into 2025, or maybe holding things steady. We'll have to see exactly where they go. But it's interesting to me that in the face of higher jobless rates, the Fed is contemplating the possibility of not cutting rates at all.
Right.
Which is usually if there's higher joblessness, the Fed is in trying to speed up the economy. And but speeding up the economy then also goes hand in hand with more inflation. And even though we're told that inflation is under control and heading towards this 2% target, still commodity prices are skyrocketing.
Yes. We were looking at that earlier today.
That's right. Which doesn't quite line up with, hey, we have inflation under control. Right? Because commodities, that's the input cost to produce things like chocolate.
Yeah. My chocolate inflation is definitely going up.
Cocoa.
Look at that, 50%.
Yeah, the continuous cocoa commodity contract over the last 10 weeks is up 50%. Wow, huge, enormous coffee.
So if the price of cocoa was going up in the past 10 weeks 50%, you can expect that to trickle down to your goodies.
Peanut butter cups. Which we've talked about, right? I mean, there's the Big Mac index out there.
That index is going to go shooting up.
That's right. That's right. But when the peanut butter cup index goes shooting up, that is a big deal.
And a single tear drops from James's eye.
A single tear drops. Eat less peanut butter cups. But coffee is also up. The coffee contract is up 30% in the last 10 weeks.
Wonder what that'll do to places like Dunkin' and Starbucks.
I don't know. The coffee is already expensive enough there.
Yeah.
Corn is up 10%. So these are, you know, this is not, this kind of portends the possibility of higher prices.
Lumber slightly up, not much.
Not much.
But again, that trickles out. Lumbers and all the materials for your homes and buildings.
That's exactly right. So when commodity prices rise, eventually those costs get passed on to consumers. And if the Fed interprets rising prices as inflation, then the Fed raises rates to slow things down. So
And around and around we go.
That's exactly right.
So do you think rates may be headed up?
Well, that could be, in spite of everything that everyone, you know, I would say keep watching for how carefully the Fed hedges their comments, right? If they carefully start, you know, having commentary about, well, you know, the economy is really strong, so we don't need to cut rates and so on and so forth. A lot of times that's code for we may be raising rates.
Or if they say, yeah, we can see the potential to cut more in the next few months, then yeah, it's then possible they might do it. Because I think they said that in September.
They did.
Yeah, letting us know that November, December might happen.
That's right. It's very interesting. I honestly don't think the Fed leads the economy much of all. I think the Fed kind of sits around and sees what's happening, and then they make decisions. They're kind of at the tail end.
I just picture him like Patrick Swayze and Ghost, just trying to mold it slightly.
That's exactly right. Well, the U.S. trade deficit with Canada is at $60
billion. Oh, boy. They're buying a lot more stuff than us, and we are from them.
That is a lot more stuff like that. Well, you know, we don't give investment advice here on the podcast, but we can probably safely say that if your investments are not structured to at least keep up with the pace of inflation, your ability to live will be negatively impacted.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, folks. Well, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are back with a call from Dave talking about principles of debt. All right. Well, we're back here with Dave. Wow, Dave, it feels like a month or two maybe since we chatted last. It's good to have you back. And
yes, thanks for joining us, Dave. Good to talk to you again.
And you're still over there in Excelsior, right?
I am, and thanks for having me. And it's always a pleasure to speak with you gentlemen.
That's right. And the Walmart is still there.
The Walmart is still there, and they're still busy, and some things never change.
Some things never change. And Route 81 is still there, too.
It is.
We wonder sometimes about Route 81. Whenever we talk about goals and so on here on the podcast, we always like to sort of jokingly reference the Route 83 South Bridge here in Harrisburg, because we always wonder, you know, is there a timeline for that? I mean, or is this just going to go on forever and ever?
Perpetual project.
That's right. So,
yeah.
But you had a question about debt, right? And
I did. And was very curious to know, I hear a lot of conflicting reports from different financial analysts on the topic. So I would love to get your perspective. Some folks say it's good to have debt and you can leverage it. Other folks say, no, absolutely, you should eliminate it. So I'm a bit confused. I have debt of my own, and I seem to feel like I'm hardly ever out of it. yet to go back into it. So I would just like to know, what is the best advice on handling debt?
Well, you know, initially, just as we sort of dive into that topic, it's, first of all, we recognize that there are some principles of debt that apply to all debt, whether one could describe the debt as good or bad, irregardless of how we describe it, there are some principles that apply to all debt. So, for example, debt, when you, whoever owes debt, the borrower, we say, is the servant to the lender. That means simply that the minute you take on that debt, you are responsible for paying it back. And the consequences of not paying the debt back are things like, you know, a ruined reputation, you know, your credit, your reputation is ruined. And that's true whether you just, you know, default on a debt or if you go bankrupt or whatever. So it doesn't matter what kind of debt it is, there's always a repayment that is required. So that's applicable to all debt. Secondly, debt always increases risk. So, and I think we've talked on the podcast here before, but
yeah, you know, consider what if someone gets taken out, even if they're making good money, you know, what if something happens?
That's right.
They still have to pay that debt back.
That's right.
And that bill keeps coming every month.
So certainly there are things that you can do if, you know, you can do something maybe more quickly if you assume some debt. Like if you don't have money to buy a car and you borrow money, then you get the car quicker, more quickly than if you would save up. But then, of course, you have to pay the debt back. And if anything goes wrong with the car in the meantime, then you have a financial liability and you still don't have maybe the money to pay for it. So there's an increase in risk whenever debt is taken on. So, an otherwise really solid project could simply blow up because of debt. So that risk is always present. So in a world where we are told that we should never say always and never say never, we can say that whenever you take on debt, you always have an obligation that you didn't have before, and you always increase risk. And that's just the nature of debt. So these two principles are true of all debt, and they're true of personal debt or corporate debt, and even
governmental debt.
That's right. Governments are still responsible. And we think we know of government systems, like a number of years ago, Puerto Rico was having problems paying its municipal debt. And that became a problem in some investment portfolios. We've seen other countries at different points throughout history that had problems with their debt. And again,
Recently Greece. Around 2010, around there, they were having some issues.
That's right. So, and whenever that happens, again, there's a reputational thing that occurs. So debt, again, debt always introduces a liability, and debt always increases risk. So those are a couple of principles to keep in mind. So then, you know, the question ever becomes, you know, well, is there good debt or is there bad debt? And there we would really differentiate and say, instead of calling it good debt or bad debt, let's say differentiate between debt that is used, like when a company takes on debt and builds a new plant, for example, a production plant. What's happening there is that company is using debt to create productive capacity.
Yeah, the potential to build wealth or generate income.
Right. And so in that way, they're using debt for a productive purpose. And the hope would be, of course, that the net result of that productive purpose, like the company is able to produce more products and services than they did prior to that, And so if that project goes well, then they'll be able to take the income from that and pay the debt back. And in that way, they've used money responsibly, even though they increased their risk and they still had a liability when they did that. So differentiate that from, let's say, if a consumer...
Anything for like, yeah, I was about to say that, like immediate consumption.
Right.
Like that would be a poor use of debt or highly depreciating assets.
That's right. So someone borrows money to buy a refrigerator and the refrigerator starts wearing out immediately, or, you know, someone borrows money to buy a car and the minute they drive off the lot, they lose a lot of value in the car, but they still have this debt. So there are different types and different uses of debt like that. And then of course, sometimes we really would question the use of, you know, what our government does with its debt, but that's a whole different topic, right? and still
we can make a whole segment out of that one.
That's right. We could make a whole conversation out of that. But is that helpful in terms of, again, I wouldn't necessarily describe it as quote good or bad debt. It's more debt that's used for production purposes or debt that's used for consumption purposes.
Yeah. Interesting. I never looked at it that way, but I do think it's helpful.
Yeah. So, but still, regardless of what kind of debt it is always, debt is always the kind of thing that, again, it increases risk. And it creates a liability where no liability had existed before.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And I feel like I just ran out of outline here, which happens when you're in a podcast.
No, that's great, Dave. Hopefully that was helpful. We really appreciate you calling in again, and we look forward to talking with you again soon.
I look forward to it as well. Thank you for helping me gain a better perspective on how I handle my own debt and ways I can utilize it.
Yeah. You know, there's another thought that just occurred to me on this topic of debt. And that is that debt, I do think, can create a situation where as people, we rely on money instead of relying on God, right? I mean, we quickly go to the credit line as opposed, and it makes me wonder sometimes. I've never done a study on this, and I don't know if you could do a study on this, but it makes me wonder sometimes, you know, if we didn't rely on debt, what God might be able to do in our lives if we depended on him a little bit more. and again, we could really talk that through. I'm not sure there's really an answer to that, but it's a question that just occurred to me here. And so I guess I'll just leave that question kind of hanging out there for people to think about and you know, draw some conclusions of their own as they think on that topic.
Definitely an interesting perspective, Jim. I think before there was the advent of credit cards, I wonder if a study would show that people did rely more on God and maybe were more debt-free as a result of it.
As a result of it, for sure. Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me kind of throw that open-ended question and just put it on the table. And sometimes it feels like when we're doing projects like a podcast, like we should be bringing answers to the table, but I feel like we just created more questions, and that might not be a bad thing, right?
True.
So again, well, thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us here today, and we appreciate you and look forward to talking with you again in the future.
I appreciate it as well, guys. Thanks for all that you do.
Well, I think we have just enough time to do a weekly puzzler.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't forget it this week. What do we got?
Last week's puzzle, the question was, what invasive fish native to the Mississippi River Basin has become a problem in the Susquehanna River?
native fish.
Native
to fish. The Mississippi River?
That's right. Invasive fish.
Yeah. It's becoming a problem for our river here at the Susquehanna.
That's right.
I'm not sure.
Flathead catfish.
The flathead catfish. Okay.
I have no idea where I came up with that, but it was a neat little tidbit anyway. This week's puzzle.
Yes, this week's puzzle is, so the past few weeks we've been talking about what Pennsylvania has been ranked for. We talked about mushrooms. We talked about, what was the other one? Milk? I forget.
No, wine.
Wine.
That's right.
Was four. Mushrooms was one.
That's right.
So where does Pennsylvania rank nationally in football this year?
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of hard to quantify.
That's hard to quantify. That's not even a puzzler.
But it's a good season for us. We've got two teams in the NFL playoff, and we've got Penn State in the semi.
No, don't give it away.
Well, we next week we're going to come back and talk about how those games wrapped
up. How those games went. That's right.
Well, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And welcome to the new year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, we said that already, didn't we?
We did.
In segment one. Well, it's still the new year.
Yeah, and we were foreshadowing our topic for the day.
Our topic, that's right, which is... Resolutions.
Resolutions. We're not just thinking about them. We need to do these things, people. Sorry, come on.
It's not resolutions.
Right.
You're going to do it. Well, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we were talking about the ABCs.
Yes.
Right, where A equals?
Accomplishments.
Yeah, that's right.
B is?
Blessings. C?
Challenges.
And S is steps.
Yeah. And we touched on steps a little bit last episode, but let's dive into that a little deeper.
Yeah. I think one powerful, powerful step that people can take is to begin the habit of writing and rewriting their top five goals every single morning.
Absolutely.
I mean, every single morning. There's nothing like getting this locked in. You get so busy doing so many different things, and then you lose sight. And like you were saying, I guess you were at the gym the other day.
Yeah.
It was a different gym, but I was at my gym too. And
yeah, I went to the gym with my girlfriend, and we were going there for a body pump class. And we're used to what the parking lot looks like, but it was just after the new year, and we pulled in, and it was crammed. We had to park all the way across the other side of the parking lot. We got out, and I said, look how many New Year's resolutions are in this parking lot right now.
That's right. And then you watch it just sort of taper off.
Yep.
Yeah, what about the beginning of February, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's back to normal again.
Mm-hmm. Then it's the usual faces.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not sure that writing that down every day would be helpful, but... Still, rewriting your top five goals for the year.
Well, if one of them is to get more fit or to be at a target weight, then writing that down and being that top of mind, that would be good.
That would be
good.
Because
then you'll end up showing up for that body pump class.
That's right. That's exactly right. But it's so important to be specific.
Yes.
Right? Be specific.
We talked about those SMART goals.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. We did several months ago. If you didn't have a chance to listen to those episodes... go back. You can track Money and Mission. You can follow Money and Mission on Spotify. You can come out here to the Holy Family Radio website, click on the button that says listen to our podcasts. And is it an archive at that point, Joe?
No, the most recent one is going to be on the player.
The most recent one is on the player.
Yeah, but then beyond that, you got to go to the archive, but they're all there.
That's right. Yeah. So you can go back to those episodes where we were talking about SMART goals. And
also our website.
That's right.
And WealthDevelopmentCouncil.com.
Mm-hmm. And scroll down the page till you come to the Money in Mission podcast. But, yeah, being specific. There are – and then taking action, too.
Absolutely.
Right, because
that's like all these resolutions, they mean nothing.
That's right.
Unless you execute.
Which is why we said
resolution.
That's yes. Right. Do something about it. One, if there's only one thing you take away from our conversation today, we hope you'll remember that action steps that you write out for the year must be specific, and you have to take action.
Right. Happiness isn't one. Rich isn't one.
It's
got to be like the SMARCLs, measurable. A target weight, a target salary, a target this.
But there are actually so many topics and actions about which you could or maybe should be specific and on which you should take action. There are so many.
Yes, absolutely.
When we started doing this podcast, was it May, I guess, of 24? I think at some level we were kind of worried about finding enough to talk about, like every single week.
But we just keep opening up cans of worms.
That's right. You keep opening up cans of worms. And at this point, the further we go, the more we discover that there is to talk about, right?
Just call us.
Yeah, you should just call us up, right? And then figure out how to do this for yourself. All right. 717-774-7200.
Yep.
That's my New Year's. My big New Year's resolution, something to do, is to spend more time sitting in the hot tub.
Okay.
But I have to be specific about that.
For like your mental health or just because you enjoy it?
Just because hot tubs are fun.
That's cool. I like them.
Yeah. Make your resolution something that you want to do.
Yeah.
And then you will have less trouble doing it.
Right.
Because you want to do it. But hot tubs are fun. So sit in a hot tub at least 3 times a week. Spend 30 minutes in the hot tub.
Okay. If you buy one, you can do it every day.
That's right. You might be actually saying to yourself, I should have called these guys from Money and Mission to talk about my own wealth management plan.
I should have.
Could have, should have, would have. If you never got around to it, it simply doesn't help, mm-mm, right? Or calling any other financial advisor to update your plan, or your CPA to get your tax plan under control, or your attorney to talk about your estate planning.
Circle of professionals around
there.
That's
right. Could have, should have, would have. But if you let life get in the way, or we could talk all day on the excuses, right? Yeah. The things that come up. I was busy. It was cold out. I felt I didn't want to get out of bed that morning. It was too cold.
Excuses are like Heinies. Everybody has one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, but whatever it is, it really doesn't matter, right? Because if you never get around to it, then
you're not going to go anywhere. Nothing
happens.
You'll be in the same position you were last year and the year before.
That's
potentially right. In a worse position because you've been letting all these red flags go unnoticed.
That's right.
Not knowing what to look for, not attending to those topics that need to be addressed.
Yeah. So a really, really, really important point in that is that no one can do this for you.
That's right. Right? No one's coming to save you.
No. You have to do this yourself.
And no one's going to care more about your personal plan than you and your family.
Than you. That's right. Well, God cares.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
he wants you
to execute.
To do something.
That's right.
That's right.
That's how much he cares.
That's how much he cares.
Gave you all the tools that you need.
That's right. Well, with this massive list, I mean, I just inserted the word massive. We said there are so many things about which you should be specific.
Okay, so we're talking about going into the new year. Folks mm-hmm. might not have been on the right path, and they're thinking, you know what, this is my year. I want to get squared away. My financial position, my whole life in order. What are some things that I should be looking at first for 2025?
Yeah. Well, we were just talking with Dave about debt.
Yes.
And principles of debt. So pay off debt.
Yes, very important.
Right. I mean, even if you feel like, wow, I'm sufficiently wealthy and it really doesn't matter, still debt, as we were discussing in that earlier segment, there are principles of debt. And having less debt and paying off your debt reduces your risk. And
if you're not rich, it goes beyond the principles and mm-hmm. it can be an anchor holding folks down.
That's right. Not just holding down, but holding you back from everything else we talk about.
That's right.
Here. And so, yeah, so get that debt, get it under control, make sure that you have a good plan in place for that. Well, IRA contributions
and then retirement. Focus on retirement saving. Saving for your retirement.
Saving for your retirement. Now, of course, you know, parenthetically, what does retirement mean? You should have a plan for that, et cetera, et cetera. But focus on that. Be specific. And in the context of being specific, of course, IRA contributions. It is not too late to make an IRA contribution.
And that's an individual retirement account, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. That's right, an individual retirement account. It is not too late to make an IRA contribution for last year. Like, how many times do you get to a spot and say, I can do something still for last year?
Right? Not often.
I mean, that's just how we're in this year. Last year is past. You would think there's no possible way I can go back and fix anything for last year, but you can still make an IRA contribution for last year.
IRS will let you pay taxes you owe from last year.
Yeah, that's true. But you can make a prior year contribution to an IRA all the way up to the tax filing deadline.
That's right.
Which seems like it's a little bit of a moving target. Now it's like April 15th, April 16th, April 17th. Right. Seems like it wiggles around a little bit there. But all the way up until the tax filing deadline, you can make an IRA contribution for last year.
So if you're over 50, you can put $8,000 for last year.
That's right.
As well as $8,000 for 2025 for a total of $16,000.
That's right. As long as you have earned income.
Of that much.
Of that much.
Yep.
That's right. Key point. Now, your 401k doesn't work that way. Your 401k is the kind of plan where you
calendar year.
That's right. You make contributions through payroll deductions. That means you give your employer the right to withhold some of the money from your pay, and then your employer is responsible for sending that to the 401k, the retirement plan. And that way you save a little bit of money for retirement each pay period. But once the year is gone, you are done. Cannot make any more 401k contributions.
That's right.
But IRAs.
So why are we putting money in IRAs? Why are we putting money in these retirement accounts?
Because at some point, you will not have the ability to earn money yourself.
Okay.
And when
that makes sense.
Your ability to earn money, when that time arrives, you're going to be looking for income from another source. So usually, I mean, historically, people have relied on pensions and
Social Security. But for a lot of folks, that just doesn't cut it.
Right. Given everything that we were talking about, inflation, you know, in the first segment here, the purchasing power of Social Security income payments is getting robbed.
Yeah. And possibly even pushing out the retirement age.
Oh, the amount. Yeah. The date at which you can actually take full Social Security. So it's important to have to live at less than your current means so that you can save and invest some of that money for the future.
Right.
Because someday you're going to need it. That's why. That's pretty straightforward. Right. Now, let's say you have an employer, let's say there's an employer sponsored plan, like maybe you own a business and you don't know if you and your employees are getting all that you should out of your retirement plan. We should talk about that a little bit when we come back after a break here.
That sounds good. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric. And we left off on employer-sponsored plans. So we're talking about why it is so important to start your year off with good steps.
That's right. And being specific.
Very specific.
About your steps.
Don't be vague with yourself.
That's right. And, you know, we were just talking here over the break about choices that people have to make with employer-sponsored retirement plans. And
yeah, right before you retire, you've got a lot on your mind, and they send you out a piece of paper with one of seven options that you have to choose from.
Right.
And you can only choose once and never change your mind.
Only once. Once you check that box, it will impact your life forever.
And ever.
Do not make a mistake.
And they don't want to hear any complaints.
Sorry, no pressure, you know. But, you know, this box that you check is going to forever change the amount of income you have, mm-hmm. the amount of money that's going to be left over as a survivor benefit. And if you die before your wife or your spouse or husband or – but how do you ever know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're probably, like, asleep at night, you know, with this – deadline to check the box coming up. You're dreaming, which box am I going to check? Mm-hmm. That's probably not funny.
Panic and fear.
That is why you call a financial advisor.
That's right.
A financial advisor can help with that. We do that with our clients all the time.
Every day.
That's right. But let's say that you are you own a business and you haven't really reviewed, or maybe you're just not sure if you and your employees are getting all that you possibly could out of your retirement plan.
That's important.
Right. Maybe it's service in the plan, or maybe it's the performance of the plan. Performance is a tough one, right? Because any investment options in those plans are only going to perform as well as the market performs. You got some variance in there. But maybe that's an issue. You need to be specific, or maybe we talk a lot about values aligned investing.
That's right.
Right. I mean, what a better way to help influence the world around you in terms of those deeply held values than to make sure that those values are reflected in your retirement plan.
Absolutely.
Or maybe it's.
And folks are happy when they're integrated in their personal planning.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of business owners love integrating that with their business as well.
That's right. That's right. Or maybe, you know, maybe you have this retirement plan and you're just not getting participation from your employees.
Ooh.
We were talking with one of our clients and he just said, I can't get my people to participate. Can't get them to sign up.
Provide a higher match.
or something, better education.
Yeah.
But again, you have to be specific. If you want these kinds of things, you can't make other people do things, but you can have a plan.
That's right.
And it's so important because if those employees are not participating in the retirement plan, then everything we just talked about, the importance of saving for retirement and everything else, is
pointless,
mm. just not going to happen. Could have, should have, would have. Right.
So what other topics for 2025 should folks be paying a close look at this year?
There are so many.
So many.
Right? We could say that over and over again, and that would be right all year long. So, yeah, I was just chatting with someone earlier this week about qualified charitable distributions.
Well, that's a good topic.
Yeah. If you are at least 70 and a half, then you can make a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA.
And what exactly is that?
Yeah. And why would anybody want to do that? Well, if you don't, when you take money out of your IRA, if it's pre-tax, then you have to pay tax on it. So every dollar that comes to you has this little portion that gets taken away and sent to our common uncle.
Samuel.
Samuel, that's right. Uncle Sam.
And so, not L. Jackson either.
Yeah, that's right. So it doesn't. It's called tax withholding, mm-hmm. right? So money comes to you out of your IRA and you have to withhold taxes. And so usually what happens is if people are making charitable gifts, they will get money from their retirement plan, pay the tax on it, and then they will turn around and gift that to charity. But, you know, if you lose 25% or more,
To the tax man,
then you actually have to give like $1.30 to make up a dollar. because a chunk of that dollar got used up in taxes.
Hmm.
Even if you...
So if I have $100 in cash or $100 in my IRA,
yeah,
I would want to use the $100 in the IRA if I was over 70 and a half.
Right.
Yeah.
Because what happens when you make that qualified charitable distribution is then your IRA custodian sends a check directly to the charity.
Yes.
And you don't even have to count it on your tax return. Well, you count it, but it doesn't... It doesn't impact. It's not included in your taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you have these three letters that show up in your tax return. QCD, Qualified Charitable Distribution. So if you can make dollars that have never been taxed go directly to a place where they won't be taxed...
That's ideal.
That's ideal.
Yeah.
Right? So then you have like redirected. Usually I don't care what side of the aisle
so
you're on.
So it wasn't taxed when you got it.
Yes.
You put it in the IRA.
That's right.
It grew tax deferred.
It grew tax deferred.
And now you're giving it away and not paying tax either.
Not paying tax either.
I like that.
That's right. Now, either way, you didn't have the money. Okay. But you sent it to charity. And so you were able to impact. That's right. You didn't have it either. So anyway, so but be specific. That is a topic that it's easy to get confused about that. There's a lot of details, but
some folks are spending, you know, a few thousand, $10,000 a year, and it can make a big difference.
It can make a big difference if you can circumvent that. Sneak peek here. In February, we are going to be talking with the folks from National Christian Foundation.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Planned charitable giving. So you don't want to miss those episodes coming up in February. Well, don't miss any of the episodes.
No.
That's right. But the ones coming up in
don't
February.
Miss the one after that and the one after that.
That's right. So, but we're excited about the work that we do with the folks at National Christian Foundation and it'll be interesting to talk with them about planned charitable giving and actually having a good plan in place for that. So some other topics that we should be specific about.
Yes, we need to focus on these in 2025.
Mm-hmm. Insurance.
Ooh.
Oh, do we have to talk about insurance?
Yeah, I normally hear a few things. It's like, do we have insurance? Do we have enough?
Do we have enough?
Yeah, is it still what we need? Are we paying too much?
Yeah, we're paying too much.
Or we're good. We got it. We got it 10, 15 years ago, so we're good now.
That's right. Why do I have to put more money in that?
Yeah.
Right, insurance. This love-hate relationship. Right, because when something happens, guess who we call first? The insurance company.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, well, anyway, or maybe there's no insurance at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe life circumstances changed.
And they most certainly do.
Like you said, you bought this insurance policy a long, long time ago and you just...
Now the kids are out of the house and you know, you're all set up, all your mortgage is paid off. Maybe you don't need all that term insurance anymore.
That's right. Possibly.
Yeah.
That's right. Or what about...
Or maybe the other way around. Maybe you just got a mortgage. You just had some kids.
And you should have more. Right. That's right. More insurance. Yeah, or maybe you have a pension and you're trying to if you're a business owner and you have a pension, maybe you're trying to create benefits, right, for your employees.
Yes.
And so review your insurance. Make a plan and be specific about action steps that you're going to take. But there's another rather fascinating piece of insurance that we talk with people a lot about, right?
Yes.
Long-term care.
Yes. And what exactly is long-term care?
Well, long-term care is the costs that – well, it's not the cost. It's all the
I think
care.
People think like nursing home. Is that
– Yeah, but it's basically care that's associated with custodial maintenance, right? Health insurance usually is insurance that pays to help you get better. And long-term care insurance is something that pays to help you.
If you can't care for yourself.
If you can't care. Yeah. Activities of daily living like bathing, eating,
dressing,
toileting, transferring.
And it can be pricey.
Yeah.
It can be very expensive.
It can be very pricey.
And completely derail someone's financial plan.
Completely.
Absolutely.
That's right. My mother-in-law, and actually my mother is right now living in a retirement community and a assisted living arrangement, and it's like $110,000 a year.
Wow.
It's a lot of money.
Yes.
And
that is.
And typically when people get in those circumstances,
it's more than folks' annual salary.
It just, yeah, whatever you saved and invested just disappears. Boom. Yep. Right out the door.
100%.
That's right. So it's not that people can't self-fund, but insurance can be very helpful. But there should be a plan. Again, we say this over and over again. There should be a plan. And the plan should be specific.
Well, speaking of plans, I know these are kind of drawn out plans, right? Like wills, powers of attorneys, trusts, living wills.
That's right. Now, if you are making very specific action steps for 2025, then about wills, powers of attorney, living wills and stuff, just call Mary Jo Mullen.
Call Mary Jo Mullen. Okay, moving on.
Moving on. No, you know, okay, so to be fair, Mary Jo is not the only attorney out there, but
she's great.
She's great. Yeah, we know her, and she's a wonderful supporter here at Holy Family Radio. So just, you know, call Mary Jo Mullen. And there are a number of attorneys. Call, make that appointment. Do something about it.
Yes. Resolutions.
That's right. Well, you know, we should recap real quick. I do want to get to the yacht discussion, but let's do that next week.
Okay.
We can do that. That's right. So again, to recap, be specific about your action step. Don't just leave things as quote resolutions.
Right. Write them down.
That's right. Write down your top five goals every single day so that you can keep that front of mind and make sure you're doing something about it. Retirement plan contributions.
Definitely be saving for your retirement.
Definitely
be saving. You do not want to wake up 10 years before your retirement date and realize you don't have enough.
That's right. Understand what you want to do in retirement. Make it part of your mission, your life mission, so that you don't end up suddenly arriving at a spot where you're just saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Right. So, well.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening this week.
That's exactly right. Good to talk with you. We look forward to seeing you next week. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.